Good morning, all of the children that would like to come down to the stage and join me for the children's moment. Now is the time. All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Is everybody doing well? Yay. Tomorrow is a special day, right? Because it's Madeline's birthday. Yay, we are so excited. And I asked her if she wanted us to all sing to her, and she said no. So we'll pass on that. And I know it's very disappointing. Everyone wants to sing happy birthdays. They do? You want them to sing happy birthday to you? All right, let's sing happy birthday. And I should not start it, so maybe Bobby should start it or somebody else. Especially birthday to you. Birthday to you, Madeline. Happy birthday to you. Yay. I know, that's great. This month of November is not only Madeline's birthday, but it is a month where we celebrate being thankful. Thankful for the things that God has given us. And there's a special day that's set apart for that. And we eat, and it's Thanksgiving, and it's a fun time. But on social media, there is a thing going around. It's been going around for several years now. It's called 30 Days of Thanksgiving, where people put on their posts, and they are reminded of the things every day in their life that they are thankful for. And I have prepped you all with thinking of something that you are thankful for. So I want you to share with me and the congregation something that you're thankful for this year in your life right now. We'll start with whoever has it in there. Okay, go ahead.
I'm thankful for Clearwater
Bagels on every Friday. I like it. I like it. Yes. You're thankful for your sisters. Oh, that is so sweet. Oh, yes. And you're thankful for what? So you're thankful for pets. Very nice. Yes. And you're thankful for your dog. Very nice. Michael, do you have one? Lee, what are you thankful for? For your family. Very nice. I like it. Yes, Emma, what? You have another one? Okay, you're not thankful for spiders and snakes. Got it. Got it. They give you the heebie-jeebies. Do you, Sharon, do you have one? No? You're good? One more, all right, and then we'll move on. And you're thankful for your two, oh, yes, you're thankful for your dogs. She's 13 now, so. Well, let's not talk about that. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for a time in our life where we can pause and remember the things that we are blessed with. Remember the things that we are thankful for. And God, as we so often take things for granted, it is so great to have a month where we can stop and look and be reminded of just the little things and sometimes some of the big things that are in our life that we are thankful for. And Lord, we are thankful for the relationship that we have with you, for this church, and everyone else in between. In your name we pray, amen. All right, let's head on upstairs for the sermon.
Our scriptural lessons today are found in two books in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, and Psalms 90, 1 through 6. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, God has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before God. That which is already has been, that which is to be already is, and God seeks what has gone by. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, are like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
This might be an appropriate time to remind you that in addition to our wonderful music on Sunday mornings with our choir, during the month of November, we have a couple of special musical treats in store for our worship. You've got a little flyer in your bulletin this morning. Next week, we will be graced with Cornerstone, a group that Mike Vetter's a part of. We're looking forward to that. And then on the Sunday following Thanksgiving, we will have a Thanksgiving bluegrass worship with one of the best family gospel bluegrass bands you have ever heard. They're going to be with us that day. So just want to remind you of those two events. And thank you for sharing that beautiful music. Well, today we're thinking about time. It is the day of daylight saving time change. How many of you changed your clocks last night? Yeah. How many of you relied on technology and say, oh, it'll just change itself? Yeah. You know, that's one of the good things about all these smartphones and Fitbits and things. It just sort of happens and we don't have to worry about it. And then we get in our cars and discover, well, the car clock doesn't change. And then we walk in the kitchen and, oh, well, the stove didn't change. Time. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, Albert Einstein once said, we physicists are convinced that the distinction between past, present, and future is an illusion, however persistent. That the difference between past, present, and future is an illusion. We actually heard that said in the reading from Ecclesiastes earlier. I just heard it for the first time as Kathy was reading it, when it says, God put a sense of past and presence in our minds. And then goes on to describe this infinite, understanding of time, but we have a sense of past and present. We live in an illusion, however persistent. But time is very malleable. I mean, we've proved it last night, didn't we? We just changed time. It's very malleable. When in actuality, time is this sense of eternity, where past, present, and future all come together. The day in the church when we commemorate this wonderful understanding of time is called All Saints Day. All Saints Day was just this past Wednesday. It's always November the 1st, the day following Halloween. Halloween and All Saints Day traditionally are all just balled up together, and they grow out of Celtic spiritualities as people commemorate and celebrate the experience of souls and saints around us. Some people actually call it All Souls Day and rather than All Saints Day, because you know, we're not really all saints in the traditional sense of the word. Sorry to disappoint you. But in our understanding of the word saints, you know, you got to be good your whole life. You even have to have performed miracles and things, and then the church makes you a saint. But that's not really the understanding of the word. In the New Testament, when Paul and other writers talk about the saints of the church, they're talking about just regular old everyday people. The biblical saints are the people of Corinth and Philippi and Galatia and Ephesus. And if you read those letters and pay attention to the things that Paul's writing to them about, you know very well that they aren't the saints in our understanding. They're just everyday people with faults, with foibles. You know, they are just like us, these saints of the Bible. When I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but remember an expression my mother used to use. And I know this is a Southern expression of exclamation. Some of you have heard it. Have you ever heard it when somebody said, "Why, saints alive?" Who's heard that? Okay, I know you have. "Why, saints alive?" And in many ways, that little explanation sort of defines what All Souls, All Saints Day is about, is the saints are alive. It's us. We are the saints, as well as all those who have gone before us and all those who come after us. I want to share a quotation from Frederick Buechner. Some of you who may have read this earlier in the week, I shared it in a little weekly blog that I write. But Frederick Buechner says, "On All Saints Day, it is not just the saints of the church that we should remember in our prayers, but all the foolish ones and the wise ones, the shy ones and the overbearing ones, the broken ones and the whole ones, the despots and the tosspots and the crackpots of our lives, who one way or another have been our particular mothers and fathers and saints, and whom we loved without knowing we loved them, and by whom we were helped to whatever little we may have, or ever hope to have, or some kind of seedy sainthood of our own soul." The saints of the world. I'm going to share some personal stories with you this morning. I hope I can get through them, because sometimes even though years separate personal stories, you have trouble speaking them sometimes. But I want to talk about my older sister and brother, who were saints in my life. Both of them smoked and drank and cussed. They were both as strong-willed a people as I ever knew. And they both had hearts bigger than you can imagine. Just a couple of stories about who they were. My sister Reba, when she was pregnant with one of her children, had gone to the doctor with my other sister. And as they were coming out of the doctor, who had just told my sister Reba that she really needed to watch her diet because she was retaining water and her blood pressure was going up, and she needed to watch her diet. And so my other sister said, "Well, where do you want to have lunch?" And my sister Reba says, "Let's go to the Varsity." Now, if we were in Atlanta, you would know what we were talking about. The Varsity is the world's largest drive-in restaurant where you get the greasiest chili dogs and onion rings and the best tasting ones you've ever had. That was my sister Reba. My brother Tom, I took him to his first Major League Baseball game when he was in his early 60s. He had never been to a Major League Baseball game. I couldn't believe it. He was my brother. But I finally got him to a ball game at Turner Field in Atlanta. And Tom was a big, burly guy with a big white beard. He looked just like Santa Claus. Actually played Santa Claus every Christmas for kids all over our little town. But we came up to the concession stand, and he shouted out, and I mean shouted in a big voice, a phrase I won't say here, followed by, "I'm not paying that much for a hot dog." My sister Raven, my brother Tom, real people, saints. I had the honor of doing both their funerals. And before my sister Reba's funeral, it had been a hectic few days, and we had been up and down I-75 between Forsyth, Georgia, and Atlanta, Georgia, and we were finally, and her funeral was on Sunday afternoon, Palm Sunday. I couldn't miss that Sunday. I had to be in church, but we had to be 70 miles away later that afternoon. So Peg drove while I tried to catch a little nap before I was going to do my sister's funeral. Very tense, very anxious. And I fell asleep. And in my sleep, I had a vision. And in that vision, just at arm's length, was my sister Reba, and my mother, and my daddy, and my grandparents, and some aunts, and some uncles, and some friends, all whom had died. And they were all so happy, and they were all enjoying one another. And my sister Reba reached out and said, "Don't worry, it's going to be all right." And it was. And it is. Now, after my brother died, and some of you may even remember that because he died the day after the congregational meeting here to call me as your pastor. One of my great regrets in my relationship with my brother is that he never knew I was moving to Clearwater. I hadn't told him yet. But I did his service that week, and as it turned out, I had to be in Colorado the next week to spend a week with my pastoral colleagues in our hiking retreat, and it was a welcome retreat by that time. And several days after his funeral, I was walking along a trail in the Rocky Mountain National Park, and it was a stretch of trail about a quarter of a mile long, where and about 6 feet wide, that on one side goes straight up and on the other side goes straight down. And as we walked along this stretch of trail, just ahead we saw a small group of people looking up on the cliff. And as we got closer, we saw that they were looking at a longhorn mountain sheep, which was quite unusual because we were only at about 9,000 feet, and you usually don't see those guys until you get up to over 10,000. But there he was, sitting on a ledge about like this, the way those sheep hop around on the cliffs. And as soon as I saw that longhorn sheep, I knew as well as I was standing on that trail that my brother had come to visit me. Because you see, Tom was an Aries. And he would butt like a ram too. And I walked that trail, and that sheep up above followed me all the way. And I knew it was him. Sometimes you have these experiences when you know there is no separation between past and present and future. Sometimes we actually have visitations from the past and the future. William Faulkner one time said, "The past is never dead. It's not even past." And it is so true. Because when we really stop and experience this thing we call time, we know that it's all one. And we are all one. And just like that preacher in Ecclesiastes says, whatever God does, it endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before God. That which is already has been, that which is to be already is, and God seeks out what has gone by. Isn't that an amazing statement? It's no coincidence that on the Sunday we commemorate All Saints' Day, All Souls' Day, that we come to the table. Because this table is a thin place. It is one of those places that the Celts described as where heaven meets earth. There's an old Celtic proverb that says the distance between heaven and earth is as long as your arm. As long as it takes for you to reach out and touch. That's the distance between heaven and earth. I think that's what Jesus was saying when he said the kingdom is near. It's so near that we can touch it. And when we come to the table today, this is exactly what we are doing. Coming into the presence of God and touching eternity. Amen. I couldn't catch your eye. I couldn't catch your eye, Mike. It's a little private joke. Earlier this week, as we were looking at our hymns, Mike made the observation that, you know, a lot of our church hymns used to be pub songs. And we decided that this was probably one of them, because it just got that, it's got that feel, doesn't it? But it feels good. We are all saints. We're here now. And we're not perfect, far from it. But we live in this amazing, wonderful grace that we call life. So go from this place, my friends, and embrace this wonder. Amen.